Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, we're looking at key truths concerning our church. We're looking at our purpose, our plan, our process, how we all carry this about. What are we like as a local church? What are we supposed to be doing? That's really the plan. As we begin this semester in Grow Groups, what is our plan? How we conduct our ministries? What is going on? As we begin this semester, let's just think about things. And here's what we're looking at. We're remembering this study this morning. We're going to see our purpose, our plan, and our process. I'm hopefully that I could just raise a couple of questions and say, what's our purpose? And every one of you could answer it and go into more detail. If I say, what is our plan, that you could answer it and we could go into detail. If I say, what's our process, you could answer it and we could go into detail. That's what we really hope. As we begin, let's think about our small groups. Now, we call them Grow Groups. And there's a reason for that. And if you remember that the G-R-O-W, the G stands for grow and the R stands for relationships. So we want to grow in our relationships. And the O stands for obey. And the W stands for word. We want to grow in our relationships and obey the Bible. So that's why we come together. Relationships are the key to the body of Christ. You could have the greatest Bible teaching in the world, but if you don't love one another, if you don't get along with another, if you don't serve with one another, it absolutely means nothing. And that's why the 1 Corinthians 13 said, even if I could speak in every language, even if I had all faith, even if I'd give my life, but if I don't have love, I have nothing. So relationships are the key within the body. And that's the key. And that's why we meet in here and then we get in our smaller groups. And that's where we get to know each other. We have the time of fellowship and prayer and enjoyment and food and everything else. But we also want to obey the word, because we don't want to have a time like a whole hour on a Sunday morning that we don't talk about scripture. And this is what it's about. We're going to remind ourselves what we do, but we need to talk about the Bible. And that's why in the weeks to come, when we talk about relationships in Christ, how does this fit? Our relationship with Christ, our relationship with unbelievers, our relationship with fellow believers, and we'll see how all that works together. So let's start. Let's look at our purpose, plan, and process, and let's think about it this way. What is our purpose? What's our goal? Why are we here? I have on your handout that's already written there. Your purpose is what? Make disciples. So we'll talk more about that in a second. We're going to talk about our purpose. We're going to talk about our plan. How do we accomplish our purpose? Listen, most churches, I don't mean this in a bad way, but most churches, if you said to them, what's your purpose of your church? Most people just automatically say, I think it's evangelism. Well, we're going to see what ours is in just a minute. I mean, and if you said, how you carry that about, they don't know how they're carrying that about. And we'll think about it, our purpose, our plan, and then, of course, our processes. How do we carry out our ministries? How does all this fit? Now, I'm going to go fairly quickly. If you have a question, comment, or input, just stop me. This is something that we've talked about many, many times. I would love that any one of you could come up right here and in three sentences say, our purpose is this, our plan is this, our process is this. I would hope every one of us in this room could do that. So let's start with our purpose. Why do we exist? What's it all about? I want you to look at Matthew 28, look at 18 through 20. Let me read it to you. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe all which I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. When you look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we find the purpose of our church. This is what we call the Great Commission. This is Jesus bringing his men together. Now, by the way, the Great Commission is found at the end of Matthew. There's another Great Commission. Same thing was found in the end of Mark. There's one in Luke. There's one in John. And there's even one in the first part of Acts. So the Great Commission is where Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into this world. I want you to share your faith, and I want you to train and equip, lead people to Christ and train them, equip them. So when we think about the Great Commission, if you notice, and see, I didn't know this when I went to seminary. Before I went to seminary, I had not had the languages. I did not have Greek. I did not know how things fit together. And then when I saw this passage in Greek, I realized there's only one command in the whole passage. Sometimes you read it and you say, go therefore. And so you look like that go is an imperative or a command, but it's not. It's actually a participle that actually says, as you are going, therefore make disciples of all nations, as you are baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, as you are teaching them to observe. Those are participles. In fact, they're called adverbial participles of manner. They're telling you how you do something. So the only command, there's only one command, and that is for us to make disciples. So when somebody said to you, what exactly is the purpose of Stillwater Bible Church? Why do you exist? Let me just tell you the truth. The purpose for this local body and the purpose for you as an individual individual is to make disciples. And making disciples involves two things. It involves evangelism and training. Evangelism is sharing our faith, and training is teaching people. So let's talk about it. Notice it says, "Go as you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit." This is the evangelism part. This is proclaiming Jesus Christ in our world. When we go out these doors, now let's face it, there are unbelievers in the local body sometimes. Sometimes when we come together on a Sunday morning, it's 400 people, 450, 500, whatever. In that group, there may be somebody that's not a believer. But technically, when we're gathered together, it's the Christians gathering together to worship Jesus Christ and be trained and equipped. So when we think about evangelism, technically, we're the believers meeting together. So evangelism is not exactly for here, even though we will always give the gospel, because you never know if there's someone who's come to the meeting of the body of Christ who's not a Christian. So most evangelism is done where? When we leave. That's why he says, as you are going. So evangelism is taking the message of Jesus Christ into this community. We know the greatest message of all is that God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, whoever believes in him, will never perish but have everlasting life. We go out these doors with the greatest opportunity. Now, I know it's scary, and we've talked about it. I've got some men that meet on Tuesday night, some men that meet on Thursday morning. I taught an entire semester class, just I think in the last year, about becoming a disciple maker. 7 lessons on sharing your faith. It's a scary thing. Every one of us in this room ought to be able to tell someone else how they can know that they have eternal life. See, our message is to tell people that by faith in Christ, they can have eternal life, because that's the offer. Jesus offers eternal life to all who believe. And so we should be able to go out. So our making disciples involves evangelism, where we scatter into this community. We'll go to that later on. But where we go and we take the message of Christ. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." The word ashamed means disappointed. You're not disappointed in the gospel, because the gospel does what it's supposed to do. It brings salvation to all who believe. When we tell people how Jesus died and rose again, and if they will trust in him, they will have eternal life. When they trust in Jesus, what do they have? Eternal life. And so we're never disappointed in the gospel, because it always does what it's supposed to do. So every one of us in this room, we're supposed to evangelize. So ask yourself this question. When was the last time you told someone how they could have eternal life by faith in Christ? Sometimes opportunities don't come up, but I tell you, the truth is, if you're asking for the opportunity, if you're praying to God for the opportunities, if you're looking for the opportunities, they will come up. So that's one of the aspects. So to make disciples, there's evangelism. The second aspect is the whole idea of training. And that's why he says, teaching them to observe all which I have commanded you. The training is we teach people to obey the Bible. It didn't say teach them the Bible. It said teach them to obey the Bible. And see, that's the difference. We can stand up on a Sunday morning and say, this passage says this, 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 and this. Thank you for coming. Okay, that's teaching the Bible, but that's not what he said to do. He said, teach them to what? Obey all that I've commanded. So when we teach the Bible, we say, now that this is the truth, how can we apply these truths in our lives? And that's the key. So when we think about it, and that's where we take this whole thing of 2 Timothy 2:2, we get taught and then we teach others. So here's the second question. The first question was, when was the last time you shared your faith? Do you realize that as we go into this community, it's to share our faith? The second big question is, who are you teaching and training? Who are you taking what you know and training and equipping other believers? Our responsibility is to make disciples, which is what? What is it? Evangelism and training. So we're to evangelize and we're to train. That's the key thing. And let me tell you this. To make disciples, we have to be what? We have to be disciples. You're going to have to be a disciple of Christ and your life count for him, and that you see that your life, that's what we're all about. So what's our purpose? And that involves two things. Evangelism and evangelism is what? Sharing our faith. What's training? Teaching them. Okay, so we got that. That's our purpose. Now we come to our plan. How are we going to accomplish our purpose? And I want you to turn quickly, and we'll go real fast, to Ephesians. Let me look at the clock. I'm going to have to go real fast. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Most of us know all of this, but I'm going to go pretty quickly through it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And the famous passage is 11 through 16. This is one of the most famous passages in our church. In fact, the key verse to remember is Ephesians 4, 12. And here's we see our plan. And it's simply put as this. Equip the believers to do the ministry to build up the body of Christ. So our purpose, make disciples, evangelism and training. How are we going to carry that about? We're going to equip each other to equip the believers so we can do the ministry so the body can grow. So let me go through this, and I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. I just want you to see this. We equip the believers for three things so that you can. Now let's think about you. We're equipping you so you can know and apply and teach, that you can know the gospel. One of the things that we train people on all the time is, what exactly is our message? Our message is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. He rose again. He conquered death. And he gives what? Eternal life to all who believe. And so we want you to be trained to be able to go and to share your faith. That's evangelism. And we want to be able to, so that you can know the gospel, so you can know the Bible, know that. And then that you can know the Bible, so that you can understand it. So when people ask you a question, you can tell them how things fit together. So we're going to equip you so you can know the gospel and know the word of God. So we said to know and then to apply it. We want you to apply the Bible. Philippians 4:9 says, take what you've been taught and apply this. Live that out in your life. So know the word, know the gospel, apply it, and then so that you can teach. Know, apply, and teach. That's equipping you. Equip you to know the gospel and the Bible, equip you to make application, equip you to teach others. Let me say this, and this is going to sound bad, but it's true. If you've been a Christian for a year or two or three, you should be training and discipling other people. And so the question you might ask yourself is, who am I? What? Who am I? Because I'm supposed to know the Bible, know the gospel. I'm supposed to make application. I'm supposed to train and teach other people. That's where equipping you to know, apply, and teach. And so many of us will say, well, I know the gospel, and I'm knowing the Bible. I'm applying it in my life. So who are you teaching? Because that's how it happens. So as Paul said, I teach Timothy. Timothy teaches faithful people. Faithful people teach others. That's what we do. That's the plan. So the first part is to equip the saints, which is knowing, applying, and teaching. Then to do the ministry. What is the ministry? Make disciples. That's what it is. When people say, how many ministries do you have at the church? What you could say is this. One. You only have one ministry? Yeah. Make disciples. Think about it. When our children's ministry is going, what are they trying to do back there? That's lead people to Christ and train them. What are we trying to do in the youth group? Lead people to Christ and train them. What are we doing in the college group? Lead people to Christ and train them. What are we trying to do in our men's ministry? Lead people to Christ and train them. What are we doing in the women's ministry? What are we doing in the... Everything we do is to make disciples. Now, as we're gathering, most of us should know Christ as Savior, right? But the goal is, after we know him, is to train and equip us so we can do the same thing. So every ministry that we have... And let me tell you, if we have a ministry that's not making disciples, we need to cancel it. Because we're wasting our time. We're putting time into a ministry that is not what our purpose is. I read a book several years ago called Simple Church. It's by Tom Rainer. And he talked about churches, and they got ministry after ministry after ministry. They don't match. They're not doing the same thing. They don't have the same plan. The youth ministry is doing one thing. The college ministry is doing another. Women's ministry is doing another. And the problem is they got all kind of things going on, but nobody knows what they're doing because they're all doing something separate. Now, we all got a bunch of ministries here, but every plan, purpose of all our ministries is to make disciples, equipping the believers to do the ministry. And what do? To build up the body. And then we build up the body spiritually and numerically. That's the plan, spiritually and numerically. And to build up the body of Christ, there's two ways to look at that. Let me just show you this. Spiritual growth is found in Ephesians 4, where he talks about, till we all result, we're no longer children tossed back and forth, but speaking the truth, we grow up and all these things. So the bottom line is we're supposed to be growing as Christians. And so we want spiritual growth. When the Bible talks about the growth of the body, almost every time it's talking about spiritual growth. When churches talk about growth, they're talking about numerical growth. They're like, how's your church? Is it growing? Yeah, we had 400, now we got 450. Oh, that's wonderful. It may not be wonderful. I know some churches that have a lot of people and the message is a disastrous message and nobody's learning anything. So I wouldn't say that's successful. I also know some small churches who are that are just equipping believers, and people are growing spiritually. So that's what we really want. Now, with that also is the idea of numerical growth. Because in Acts, when people, let me tell you, if every one of us in this room, think about this. If every one of us in this room in the next 2 months led one person to Christ and brought them here, what would this room look like? Be double. You know the statistics that over 80% of believers in their entire life never lead one person to Christ. Never share their faith. Think about that. And people say, I wonder why the church isn't growing. And we're talking about numerically and spiritually. Okay? So we've got make disciples, which is evangelism training. We've got equip the saints, which is to know and apply the Bible, to do the ministry, which is making disciples, to build up the body of Christ, which is spiritually and numerically. Okay, that takes us basically to the last part, and that is, what's our process? And we call it gather and scatter, or gathered and scattered. And we gather together in big groups, and then we gather for worship and training, and we scatter for evangelism and service. Now, historically, what we're doing is contrary to the historical plan of most churches, especially in the last 150 years. In the last 150 years, churches gather for evangelism. Many of you grew up in churches. What do they do at the very end of the service? What do? Have an altar call. Why do you have an altar call? Because you brought people in there that day. The pastor's given an evangelistic message, and now we're trying to lead those four or five people who happened to show up that day who weren't Christians. We want them to be saved. So many people believe that the purpose of gathering is evangelism. The problem with that is the Christian who comes week after week after week never grows because he hears the same message over and over. We gather not for evangelism, even though we will evangelize. We gather for worship and training. When we sing those songs, when we pray, when we give, when we study, those are all acts of worship. And then we scatter for evangelism and service. And we go from big groups to small groups. That's why, in a sense, this is a big group. But we're fishing to get to small groups in just a minute. In about 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to leave here, and we're going to go to our smaller groups. Now, some of our smaller groups are not that small. But that's the way it is. We don't have that many rooms. And so that's what we're going to do. But that's the plan. So think about it. It's big groups to small groups. Let me show you something. I want to read two things to you. You don't have to turn there. Listen to this, because the Bible says there are places for big groups, but there's also the small groups. Listen to this. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, and day by day, this is what the disciples were doing. They continued with one mind in the temple, that's the big group, and then breaking bread from house to house. They were the big area, the temple, where they had their big meetings, and then they went to house. Now listen to this. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 20. This is Paul talking. Listen to what he says. He says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly, big place, and from house to house, small groups. We have a big thing, Sunday morning, big thing, big grow group part right here, big things on Wednesday, you know, but then we get into small groups. That's the key. And then that's gathering, and then we scatter. We go into this community to take the message of Jesus Christ, and that's what chapter 4 this is supposed to be Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 34, where they're taking the message of Jesus Christ. So it's some great things. So let's think for a minute. What's our purpose? Make disciples. What does that include? Evangelism and training. What's the plan? Equipping the saints to do the ministry, build of the body. Equipping the saints to do what three things? Know, apply, teach. To do the ministry, which is? What's the ministry? Make disciples. To build up the body of Christ, how? Numerically and spiritually. So you got to get that. Because I see some of your faces going, I forgot, and I just got it. Okay, we got it. Okay, that's the plan. And what's the process? We gather for worship and training, big groups too, small groups, and then we scatter for evangelism and service. So when we go out these doors, we think of, how can I serve people in this community so I can share my faith. Every grow group, at least once a semester, is supposed to have what? A project, a community project, a project that you can go into this community and that grow group of people touch some lives. So let me tell you, when you do that, people look at you and they go, you're different. And then you get to tell them the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So let me give you the applications and we'll stop, okay? Applications, know the purpose of Stillwater Bible Church. What is it? And that is, what is it? Evangelism and training, okay? Know the plan. What's the plan? Equip believers to do what? Know, apply, teach, to do the ministry, which is make disciples so the body will grow. How? Okay, come on, let's do it. Let's do it together. Quit the believers to do what? Let's go. What is it? Know the Bible, apply, teach, to do the ministry, which is make disciples. So the body will grow how? Spiritually and numerically. And then last, understand the process. We gather, worship and training. We scatter to proclaim Christ. And we gather in big groups and go to. And we use the service aspect of when we go into this community so we can share our faith.